Hello, my friends. Jacob's here one more time, and I'm glad that you're all here. I'm just a meatball. So the following show that you are about to watch, though it may be freaky and wig you out and get you all freaked out to go look into your Bible, you may say, oh, it's a terrible thing that the evil in the world has changed the words of these pages. I'm just a meatball, but I do know that I've studied the scriptures for a long time, and there are a lot of things that are just, that they don't make sense. Things that, you know, are there now that maybe just weren't back when I remember, which is, like, it's been going on for a long time, because I've written, like, hundreds of essays that you can find at jacobisrael.com. Go there, subscribe, it's free. I take the script, this is what I do. This is what I do. I take things in the world, and I use the scriptures to kind of extrapolate a deeper, significant spiritual message. But there's this thing called the Mandela Effect. Now, if you don't know anything about it, okay, for whatever reason, they say this lady, Fiona Broom, that she was like a paranormal investigator, and she discovered this. But let me tell you something. There are a lot of people that have been talking about it for a long time. I have video after video after video. I'm actually kind of an expert in this field, as I will be featured in the Mandela Effect movie that is coming out very shortly. Don't ask how that happened. God has a sense of humor. But as I'm getting ready to do my show, the big Super Bowl prediction show, which is coming up, I'm getting ready to do that, there is a specific passage in the scripture that I was digging into that relates to this Super Bowl that's coming up. Don't miss that show. Make sure you're subscribed and you hit the like and you share and you do all that stuff so you don't miss that show. And it blew my mind because a word that I thought was there, no longer there. And then I start digging in a little bit more and I'm like, well, what else has changed since I last did my Bible Mandela Effect video? And I'm shook to the core. Yeah. You know, on the channel, we talk a lot about the secret societies, the Freemasons. Well, you probably saw the thumbnail and you were probably thinking, wow, that's weird. Well, it's not weird because I just found out that most historians believe that Jesus was not, in fact, a carpenter, but was a stonemason. That's what the Freemasons are. They're stonemasons. And this is evidence because, of course, in Nazareth, there was a stone quarry. And then they say back in the day, you know, that most of the houses were built of stone. So that's their justification. But let me tell you something. The spiritual message of being a carpenter's son is incredibly profound and deep. I probably would have stumbled on the fact that Jesus was like the first Freemason. I probably would have figured that out a long time ago. I think this is a new thing for me. It's not found anywhere in scripture. If you look at the actual word in the original language, if you use the Strong's, it comes out as a woodworker, somebody who's a carpenter, a builder, a joiner. But if you go to like the Munces, these are different translations. These are different interlinear Bibles where they go with the original text. Munces says could be a stonemason. Or somebody that works with stone. I see the symbolism there as well. But this is new to me. Is it new to you? Is it new to you? Did you know that Jesus was a Freemason? You think he was posing for selfies back in the day, you know, covering the eye and making all the weird hand gestures? You think he was doing that? Or do you think he was a carpenter, son? You got to tell me in the comments. A lot of weird changes to the Bible, right? I've covered a lot of them. You know, probably one of the most famous, of course, that's going around is the lion and the lamb. Never happened. It was never the lion and the lamb. It's always been the wolf and the lamb. Even though there's plenty of evidence, plenty of pictures, plenty of books written, plenty of tattoos with the lion and the lamb, but now it's the wolf and the lamb. Now, before I go any further and talk about all of the other weird ones, which there are a lot of them, I want to tell you something. I, for one, believe that the Mandela Effect is like a real thing. I do, because when I started covering it back in the day, I saw two very significant, what we called effects back then, that had plenty of evidence to back it up, flip-flop. I would say, well, do you remember the movie Apollo 13? Do you remember the line, Houston, we have a problem? And they would say, oh yeah, I love that movie. I said, okay. Well, that's not what he says. And they would immediately say, well, what do you mean? That's not what he says. So now what I would tell people is, well, years ago it was this. You remember, Houston, we have a problem. And that's right now. But let's go to some movie misquote places. You know, like I would look up articles online, like BuzzFeed. Top 20 movie misquotes, 2013, whenever it was. Back then, the number one that BuzzFeed had was Apollo 13. And it said, Houston, we have a problem. Misquote. Actual quote, it would say, Houston, we've had a problem. So that's just strange, because now we have evidence of big name online magazines doing top 20 movie misquotes, and they're number one. They don't get it right. I remember studying them, and they were one way, and then they flip-flopped. In the Bible, for example, there are essays that I wrote about Paul's thorn in particular, which was very, very important to me, because it's a very important passage. You know, we're given the thorn in the flesh, and Jesus had, you know, he had the crown of thorns. Thorns are very significant. Thorns are, they equate to the cares of the world. So I did this whole essay about it. But in the scriptures, it used to say that God sent a messenger of Satan to buffet me. That was Paul. Doesn't exist anymore. God wasn't in charge of this. God, it actually repeats. So I knew there was something to it. Then I stumble upon the tongue, you know, because I talk about on the channel how important the tongue is, that the tongue is a mighty instrument, right? It's a sword. You take your words, take the S off the end, put it in the beginning. You got a sword. It can bring life and it can bring death. You could speak blessings. You could speak curses. The tongue in scripture was compared to what? Of a ship. Do you remember? Tongue is as a of a ship. What is it? The rudder, right? Because it's small. But it can steer you into the rocks, could steer you away. But no longer is it the rudder of a ship. It's the helm of a ship. Now, the helm is a lot bigger, right? The helm is a lot bigger than the rudder in relation to the ship. But that's the way it is. We, of course, know that a lot of people got that tattoo of judge not, lest ye shall be judged. Great passage, right? Don't think things to be a certain way unless you want them to be that way. See things better in the future. Judge not, lest ye shall be judged. A lot of people have tattoos. A lot of people still to this day believe that that's what it said, but it was never written that way. Never written that way. These are like ones that, you know, stood out to me. The ones that stood out to me the most were like the ones that were just ridiculous. Like the fact that Easter is in the Bible now. Back in Jesus' day, back before, Easter wasn't a thing. It was Passover, okay? That was the whole thing. It's very strange. Very strange that now we'll find these original texts from like the 1611 King James. They're no longer what I remember them to be. Some of the most famous paintings, you know, the Michelangelos of the world and the Leonardo da Vinci's of the world, everything's a little bit different. Especially this famous picture right here. Let me give you a close-up. Right there, that's the creation of Adam. Now, what looks different? I put this out on X. If you're not following me on X, you probably should. It's at Jacob71. I share a lot on there. And I try to help people to see how it is that I get this information. People are always saying, how do you figure this out? So I'm kind of like trying to teach people and train people here, and especially on Patreon. I even do like these little videos. If you want to hook up with the channel and you want to support the channel, Patreon, it's like you could do $1 a day, $5 a day, $10 a day. You could do anything you want, right? But if you want like any of these little, what I call like little daily breadcrumbs where I do like videos, you get me behind the scenes, you get me, you know, I share thumbnails ahead of time. I share things that are a little bit deeper. You know, go to Patreon. Soon I'm going to be doing live shows. I'm going to be doing dream interpretation shows there. Once we hit a certain mark and it actually works out and I can figure out how to actually do it. But I put out that picture right there, this one again. And I said, well, what's the Mandela effect here? And do you notice? Take a look at the wrist of Adam. Do you see that it kind of looks like God is pointing towards Adam, pointing up to Adam, like to touch Adam as if Adam is somehow elevated from God? That makes no sense at all. I could remember it wrong, but I'm telling you, that's the day we're in, where man thinks he's above God. Most people that, you know, you'll meet they probably don't even really believe in God. Maybe they have an idea, a cursory understanding, or they go to church, but they're not seeking every day. They're not praying every day. They're not looking at the world and saying, wow, it's all coming together. This is a most important time. So of course, we're going to see these famous works of art sort of differently, where man is above God somehow. Like God needs to touch Adam as opposed to Adam needs to touch God. It's weird to me. I think it's a Mandela effect. I don't know. You got to tell me in the comment section. You know, some people ask me, they say, why does it say that God is a jealous God? And how does he explain that to me? And I do. I've written about this as well. But it wasn't until today that I realized that that was his name as well. Now, I remember God being a jealous God, and it's a translation, and it really just means that, look, if you know the truth only can have the truth. So the lie is, it's not going to be good. It's not going to be good for you. So of course, God is a jealous God. God is going to be, God is just like I would be jealous if someone I loved and cared for was somehow totally ignorant of who I was and was following after a bunch of lies. That's really kind of what it means. It's not like a terrible thing where, you know, you're doing everything to serve God and your best interest and he's still jealous, right? He's like, what were you doing out last night? You know, you said you were at work. What happened? What took you 15 minutes to get home? Thank God Danielle's not like that. But you all probably can understand what that, you know, what that's like. But now in Exodus chapter 34, 12, 14, it says, take heed for yourself, lest you make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land. Whether you go, let it be a snare in the midst of you, because you shall destroy their altars, break their images. You'll cut down their groves, for thou shalt worship no other god, for the Lord whose name is... I always thought it was like Jehovah. For the Lord whose name is, I always thought it was like Jehovah. Maybe, like, you know, maybe Yahweh. I always thought it was Jehovah. But it's actually for the Lord whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. Which doesn't make a lot of sense, right? Because it's like saying is jealous, jealous. You know, my name is jealous. No, that's not God's nature. God, according to John, is love. So that doesn't make sense. That's a weird thing. That would be another one of those things that that's kind of the way people think God is today in the world. So everything's twisted. Everything's a little weird. That, for me, Mandela effect. Do you remember it being God's name being jealous? Do you? I don't. Now, we got the merch, right? We got the merch, which you can still get till the end of February now because everybody loves the meatball hat. I am a witness, right? I'm a witness. And where two or, what's the next word, are gathered, there God is in the midst. Where two or, I always thought it was more, you know, and I always thought that it was more, and I understood the more just be like three people, you know, like the Lord adding to a conversation. But it actually, the word more, for wherever two or more are gathered, that doesn't exist anywhere. And I studied the scriptures, so, I mean, maybe I'm just, you know, I'm missing it. But I also know that the Mandela effect is real because I saw a flip-flop. So I know, I'm fully persuaded in my mind whether, you know, we're in some weird simulation or whether, you know, there's some crazy stuff going on where our memory is being messed with. Like, we remember things a little wrong. Maybe some big experiment. Maybe there's, I mean, but there's something. There's something. I look at it in a positive light because I know that this isn't our home. Jesus said, this is not my home. This is not my kingdom, right? Jesus came here to like set the people that were trapped, you know, from Noah's day to set them free. I kind of look at us like that. Like we were sent here. We're here now to lift everybody out of this madness. And madness it is, because it's not two or more. It's two or three. Three. I don't remember it. What do you know? Got to tell me in the comment section. Now, I got to be honest about wearing the hat. It's also because I'm having a terrible hair day. So I instead of trying to do my hair and trying to make it all look pretty, which it never looks pretty, right? Let's face it. Yeah, I'm 52. I'm going to be 53. My hair is, we've seen it's gone white. It's gone white and it's all over the place. So I put the meatball hat on. That's another reason to get it. Support the channel. You know, I'm just a meatball. I'm just a meatball. No one can say, I'm just going to believe it because this guy is saying so. He's wearing a meatball hat. Believe it when you seek after it and ask God to reveal it to you. I think there's something going on, but, you know, hey, look, maybe I'm wrong. Just like I was wrong about whose ear got cut off in the New Testament. That's a good question, right? That's a good guess, like a Bible question. Like, they came for Jesus in the garden. Who got their ear cut off and why? Well, you remember the story where Peter, you know, he took a knife. I thought it was a knife. The word sword, because it says sword in scripture now, I always thought it was a knife back in the day. I'm not saying that's a Mandela effect because I know that word sword also translates into like a blade that cuts meat. Could be like a survival knife. But so Peter, I always thought lopped off a Roman guards. I thought it was a Roman guard. Even the Passion of the Christ, I believe they depicted a Roman guard. I don't remember that so much because I haven't seen that movie in a long time, but I always thought it was a Roman guard. Yet, turns out, people are saying, no, it's a slave. But then I go to the scriptures to look that up, just to back it up, and it was a servant of the high priest got his ear lopped off. Servant of the high priest. I don't remember this. I remember it being the Rome. But once again, I see the symbolism of both. But what do you think? Who did Peter, when Peter cut the ear off, who was it? Was it a guard, like pictured in this old movie? Or was it a high priest, the servant of the high priest? You gotta tell me. Yeah, it's all weird, right? It's all weird. That's why I can't wait for the Mandela Effect movie to come out because I think it's gonna be huge. I hope it's gonna be huge. I hope it's going to be huge. That's new to me, but it may not be new to me once again, because, you know, look, see, that's the thing with the Mandela effect. That's why, you know, it's easy to discount it because I could be wrong. I could remember things differently. You know, I know the scriptures pretty well. And a lot of people will say things like, you know, in the scriptures, it never said two men in one bed. You know, and they'll tell me this. I'm like, no, it did. It did. I've written essays on it. You know, so there are times where we could just remember things wrong. But when I was doing the research for this Super Bowl show, and I was looking up a specific passage about how the last shall be first, well, I was blown away to find out that it's not at the resurrection, but it's something else. You know, there's a great message in this too. The last shall be first and the first shall be last. And it lasts. And it's an idea of, you know, who we were, who we thought we were, the first idea of us, right, which was formed in the dust of the earth, formed, you know, by the people that gave us a name and gave us an identity and gave us politics to believe in. And we were literally formed to be this person that we call, hey, this is Jacob, this is Beth, this is Joey, this is Linda. You know, that's who we begin to think that we are. That's the first idea of us. That's the first man in the Bible, which is Adam, who eats of that tree of knowledge of good and evil. And dies, spiritually speaking, thinks he knows it all, decides that he's like God, sees God as someone who serves him and points up to him. The first Adam is going to be last in the kingdom of heaven. And the last man, which is Christ from heaven above, which is what the scriptures say, the first shall be last, the last shall be first. That which is earthy, which is first, is not heavenly, but that which is heavenly, which is next, comes down from heaven above. That's the second Adam. That's Christ. That's first into the kingdom of heaven. It's a picture of being born again, having Christ being resurrected, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And yet, in this one passage, this is what just blew my mind. And I reached out to a couple of people that I believe that are very, very well skilled. One of them, right off the bat, didn't know, thought it was resurrection. The other one thought it was resurrection, but then he looked it up and said, oh no, it's something else. And then the third, I don't know if they checked to make sure so they didn't sound stupid. You know how you do that when someone says, what is it, this or this? You want to be right. So I'm asking you in the comments section, give your first idea, your first answer every time. But in the book of Matthew, chapter 19, verse 28, it says this. Jesus said to you, truly I say to you, those that have followed me at the something, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, So this something happens when Christ sits on the throne. You also shall judge the 12 tribes. But the word that's used is not what I thought. I thought that it used to say, I thought it says, truly I tell you, if you followed me at the resurrection, when the Son of Man sits on the throne, but it's not resurrection, it's regeneration. I don't remember regeneration being in there. But once again, I could be wrong. You have to tell me. Regeneration, regen, sounds like some kind of like a computer thing. In this translation, it actually says renewal. Doesn't even say regeneration, because that's kind of what it means. But to be resurrected and to be regenerated, I think they're different things. So you got to tell me in the comment section if you think that even the Bible, right, even the Bible, which people say, by the way, they say this is the Word of God. This is not the Word of God. The Word of God is truth. Your Word, O Lord, is truth. These are the Scriptures. Jesus called these the Scriptures, and he says that in these you think you have eternal life, and they're the very things that testify of me, but you don't know me. The Word of God cannot be altered. The Word of God is truth. Truth can't be altered. It can't mislead you. It can't misguide you. But the Scriptures, they've been translated. Things have been added. Things have been taken away. You know, it's just that, you know, man and religion has gotten you to believe in this because it's tangible, as opposed to believing in what's in your heart and what's in your mind when you pray and you're asking God. God wants to teach you. God wants to lead you. It shouldn't bother you if things don't appear the way they used to appear, because in the grand scheme of things, God's in control. So, do you think the Bible's being changed? You got to tell me. And if not, you got to tell me. And you got to do me a favor and share this video around, will you? Will you hit like? Will you hit subscribe if you're not subscribed? Will you check the bell for notifications? Tell people. Everybody's telling me, oh, I got unsubscribed. You know, make sure you go and check. You may be unsubscribed and not even know it. Do it. Do it today. Do it now. Tell your friends. Share the channel around. Do that stuff. Get yourself, you know, the God's Champion mug, Uranus is a Planet mug. Get any of the merch in the description of the video below. There's links to trulyfreehome.com. They're running a special right now on like vegetable spray. I'll put a link below. You can check that out too. Live without the toxins that are trying to rob you from everything. It's like the whole world seems as like it's out to get you. But believe me, God's delivering us and God's doing something wonderful. So be excited. I love each and every one of you. I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.